So you're trying to, get a better handle on the nuances of the law, right? I mean, who isn't trying to efficiently pick up those key lessons without, having to slog through tons and tons of dense legal text?
It can be a real slog.
Well, that's exactly what we're doing today.
That's right.
On the deep dive, we're taking a deep dive into a case called Wojtas v. Capital Guardian Trust Company.
It might not be, a case that everyone's heard of.
Yeah.
But the Seventh Circuit decision, it really is packed with some critical insights, especially, for aspiring legal professionals. It touches on some really core concepts like fiduciary duty.
Right.
The always important statute of limitations, and of course how even small procedural missteps can end up having some pretty big consequences down the line.
Yeah, absolutely. So our mission today, if you will, is to really extract that essential knowledge from this case and kind of show you why it deserves your attention.
Yeah, I think it's a case that has a lot to teach us.
Okay, so let's just jump right in.
Let's do it.
The story starts with Bonnie Wojtas, who had her IRA, that's an individual retirement account, being managed by Capital Guardian Trust Company. And back in 1999, she instructed Capital Guardian to transfer those funds to a different firm, Insurance Planning and Design.
And this is where things, unfortunately, took a bit of a turn.
A bad turn.
Yeah. It turned out an employee at Insurance Planning and Design ended up stealing the money after the transfer.
Yikes.
Yeah. So fast forward several years, and Bonnie Wojtas, along with Richard Wojtas, filed a lawsuit against Capital Guardian.
Okay. So their argument was basically that Capital Guardian had this responsibility, a fiduciary duty, to act in Bonnie's best financial interest.
Right.
And they claimed that Capital Guardian was negligent by not properly vetting or checking out Insurance Planning and Design before sending the funds over.
Yeah, they felt that Capital Guardian, as the initial custodian, had a duty to do their due diligence.
Yeah.
Really make sure that this new firm was legitimate.
Makes sense.
But this is where it gets really, I think, interesting from the perspective of, understanding how the machinery of legal practice really works, because this lawsuit, it wasn't filed right away.
Right.
And Wisconsin, where this whole case originated, has a 2-year statute of limitations for these breach of fiduciary duty claims.
So that statute of limitations, for those who may not know, is basically a legal deadline for filing a lawsuit.
Exactly. You can think of it as like, a clock starts ticking when you knew or really should have known about the potential issue.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, and so by the time the Wojtases filed their suit, that 2-year window had already closed.
It had long since closed, yeah.
Okay, so the initial court, the district court, they looked at this whole timeline and basically said, sorry, but you've missed your chance.
You're out of time.
Yeah, they dismissed the case.
Right.
But Wojtas didn't just stop there, right? They took it up to the Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals, and the Seventh Circuit agreed with that lower court's decision.
Exactly. So at its heart, you have a situation where money was stolen.
Right.
A lawsuit is filed after the apparent deadline under Wisconsin law, and two levels of court said, nope, this case can't move forward.
Right.
But that journey to that outcome is full of these really interesting procedural moves that I think offer valuable lessons for, anybody who's thinking about going into the legal field.
Yeah, I think so, too. So the Seventh Circuit really focused on a couple of main legal points here. First, was the district court correct to dismiss that negligence claim? Because remember, they sued for both breach of fiduciary duty and negligence.
Yeah, they had two sort of prongs to their argument.
Exactly. Was the district court right to dismiss based on this statute of limitations? Mm-hmm. And then second, maybe this is even more crucial for understanding how litigation works. Do the Wojtas basically waive their right to even argue against that statute of limitations defense?
And this really gets into the, the nitty-gritty of litigation strategy and procedure.
Absolutely.
So just to kind of step back, the Wojtases initially filed their case in Wisconsin State Court. And Capital Guardian, completely within their rights, decided to remove that case to federal court.
Right.
And once it was in federal court, Capital Guardian filed what's called a motion for judgment on the pleadings.
Right.
This is a pretty, standard move where a party basically argues that even if everything that the plaintiff, the person suing, says is true, they're still entitled to a judgment.
As a matter of law.
As a matter of law, because there's a valid legal defense. And in this case, that defense was the statute of limitations.
Okay, so this is where things get really interesting.
Yeah.
So facing this argument, the Wojcicki's try a strategic move, right?
Right.
They attempt to get the case voluntarily dismissed under Rule 41A2 of the Federal Rules of Civil Procedure. And their plan was to then refile the lawsuit in Illinois.
Which notably has a longer statute of limitations for these types of claims.
Right. Yeah. So they're thinking, okay, if we can just get this dismissed, you know, voluntarily, mm-hmm. without prejudice, we can go to Illinois and maybe we'll have a better shot there.
Longer clock. Right.
But here's the thing. This is where it gets really, you know, tactically important. When Capital Guardian raises that statute of limitations as a defense, the Wojcicki's, their primary response is to seek this voluntary dismissal.
They don't actually try to fight it head on at that moment.
Exactly. They don't say why the Wisconsin statute of limitations shouldn't apply.
Mm.
And so that silence, it turned out, really spoke volumes to the court.
Yeah, it did.
The district court said, no, we're not going to grant this voluntary dismissal here because it would really unfairly prejudice Capital Guardian.
Right.
They're saying allowing the Wojcicki's to just refile in Illinois after that Wisconsin deadline had passed would essentially let them just totally sidestep Capital Guardian's, you know, a valid legal defense under Wisconsin law.
Right. Completely undermine it.
Right. And so the district court denied that voluntary dismissal, and then they granted Capital Guardian's motion dismissing the whole case.
Both the fiduciary duty and the negligence claim.
Exactly. With prejudice,
yep.
Meaning they couldn't be filed again.
Right.
And as we've been talking about, they appealed to the Seventh Circuit, but the appellate court agreed with the district court,
right,
reinforcing how important those procedural steps really are.
Yeah, I think that's a theme we see again and again in these cases.
Absolutely. And the serious consequences of not directly addressing key legal arguments from the other side.
Right. Not responding can be just as impactful as responding in the wrong way.
Okay, so let's really dig into the court's reasoning here. So what was it about Wisconsin's specific statute of limitations that made the court so reluctant to let the Wojcicki's, you know, get that second chance in Illinois?
Well, this gets to a really fundamental difference in how states approach these legal deadlines.
Yeah.
So Wisconsin law classifies its statute of limitations as substantive, not just procedural.
Okay, so what does that mean? What does it mean for it to be substantive?
What it means is that when the time limit to file a lawsuit under Wisconsin law has expired, the actual legal right itself is extinguished.
Oh, wow.
It's not just that you can't go to court to get a remedy. The claim itself is considered gone after that deadline passes.
So it's not just about losing the ability to sue in Wisconsin, but like the right itself just evaporates.
Exactly. It's not just a procedural bar. It's like the right is gone.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. And that substantive nature of the statute of limitations is really the heart of why the court found plain legal prejudice to Capital Guardian if they allowed this voluntary dismissal.
Right.
Because if the Wojcicki's could just refile in Illinois with its, you know, more generous deadline, they would be able to pursue a claim that Wisconsin law says just doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah.
And that would, you know, directly undermine Wisconsin's legislative choices about how long people have to bring these claims.
Yeah, that makes sense. So the court is basically saying we can't let someone just ignore the law of one state by filing in another.
Exactly.
Now, you mentioned this whole concept of waiver before.
Right.
How did the Wojcicki's failure to really respond to the statute of limitations argument, specifically for that negligence claim, how did that affect the Seventh Circuit's decision?
So, you know, this is a huge takeaway, I think, for anybody who will be doing litigation.
Yeah.
The Seventh Circuit has a pretty bright line rule when it comes to waivers. And as they said, a failure to oppose an argument permits an inference of acquiescence and operates as a waiver.
Okay, so they're basically saying that if you don't say something, they're just going to assume you agree.
Right, because the Wojcicki's didn't directly address the argument that the negligence claim was also time-barred. The court treated it as if they had agreed.
Oh, wow. So even if they thought they had a good reason why that 2-year statute of limitations shouldn't apply, they didn't say it.
Right. They might have thought, oh, well, negligence has a different statute of limitations, but they didn't actually make that argument to the court.
Right. By not doing that, they lost.
Right. Yeah, they lost their chance. And that's a huge practical lesson here. When you're facing a motion to dismiss, or any motion, really, that could get rid of the case, you have to respond to every single argument the other side makes.
Yeah. Don't assume the judge is going to, you know, read between the lines or make your arguments for you.
Right. Exactly. Failure to respond is basically conceding the point, and as we see here, it can really sink your client's case.
Okay, and the Wojtyses, they did try to argue that their negligence claim was separate from the breach of fiduciary duty claim.
Right.
I guess hoping maybe you'd be subject to a different statute of limitations.
Yeah, a more favorable one.
Yeah. So how did the court handle that argument?
Well, Capital Guardian made the argument, and the court agreed that both claims, even though they had different names, were really about the same basic thing. Capital Guardian's failure to properly look into insurance planning and design before transferring the IRA money.
Right, right.
And because both of those claims were rooted in that same action, the court said, look, they're both subject to the same 2-year deadline.
Okay.
They weren't going to let the Wojtyses just relabel the same basic complaint to try and get around that deadline.
Right, right. Okay, so taking all of this in, why should future lawyers, why should they really pay attention to this case, to Wojtyses?
I think there are a few really important points here. First, this case shows that statutes of limitations aren't just these, you know, random deadlines.
Right.
In some places, like Wisconsin, they're really substantial. They can determine whether you even have a right to sue.
Right. So knowing the specifics of your state's law is so important.
Absolutely critical. And it's not just about memorizing a number. It's about understanding the bigger picture of how that law works.
Okay, yeah.
The second big takeaway, I think, is that procedural stuff matters.
It's not just, a formality.
Not at all. Missing deadlines, you know, not responding to arguments, that can really hurt your case no matter how strong you think your client's claims are.
Okay.
And the third point is that voluntary dismissal under that Rule 41A2, it's not a get-out-of-jail-free card.
Right.
Courts can say no, especially if it would be unfair to the defendant. And as we saw here, unfair can mean letting someone avoid a state's law.
You can't just like shop around for a better court after you've already missed the deadline and won.
Exactly. It really highlights how important it is to think strategically about where to file your lawsuit right from the start.
Okay, yeah.
And the final takeaway, I think, is just so crucial. When you're dealing with a motion to dismiss, you've got to respond to every single argument they make. Silence is not your friend.
Yeah.
The court might think you're agreeing with them, and that can be the end of your case.
Wow. Okay, so to recap, be really, really aware of whether your statute of limitations is substantive or procedural.
Right.
Don't mess up those procedural steps, you know, and respond to every argument.
And understand that voluntary dismissal isn't always an option.
Yeah. It really shows how much strategy matters in litigation right from the very beginning.
Absolutely. It's not just about what happened. It's about understanding the rules of the game and using them effectively.
So here's a final thought for you all listening. How do you think this case might have played out differently if the Wojtyses had filed in Illinois right away?
Right.
And what does that tell us about choosing the right place to file right from the get-go? Really something to think about.
Absolutely.
Well, thanks for joining us for this deep dive.
Until next time.
Until next time.